Welcome to Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. In each of our programs, our intention is to bring to the listeners the people, places, and projects of Northern California that we think you're going to enjoy and that we think are exceptional. Today I have in the studio an individual that has a remarkable story, a story about survivalship, not only in a specific instance, but over and over again in her life. In 2018, September, Nancy Della Maria survived a plane crash. And she's going to talk to us about, first of all, her background, what led to being on the plane, what it was like to go through the plane crash and the recovery process and her life since then. So welcome to the program, Nancy Della Maria.
Thank you, Lynn. It's great to be here today.
Yeah, and thank you for being so vulnerable and being willing to tell your story, because I think it's an inspiring story. It's challenging, the things you've been through, but your resiliency and surviving and keep going in life is really, really definitely inspiring. So I always ask people that come on the program, where did you grow up?
I grew up in and around Springfield, Massachusetts, which is about 2 hours inland from Boston, where we pronounce our R's.
That's funny. And how did you end up in coming to the West Coast, California?
Well, funny enough, my first husband was from the Sacramento area, and we were married for 17 years. And unfortunately, we parted ways, but remained wonderful friends. And when we did split up, we ended up deciding to come to Redding, California, because I was beginning a relationship with a man who lived here. And he figured that way he would be coming home to California, my first husband, as well as we would have our children together and family would be in one place.
So how many kids do you have?
I have two biological daughters, but I also have two older stepdaughters with my first husband, and then I have five stepchildren with my current husband.
So big family.
We have a very big family and lots of grandchildren.
So in your life journey, did you go to college? Did you work? What was that like for you?
I did. I come from a very large family of origin in Massachusetts. I'm one of five, and I have many, many cousins and friends in that area. And it was really instilled in us to get a good education. So like my siblings, we all went to college, and I chose, rather than nursing, which a lot of my sisters went into, I decided to become an X-ray technologist. So I went to school in Holyoke, Massachusetts, and became a radiologic technologist, where I worked as an X-ray, then CAT scan, and eventually became an MRI technologist, where I worked the majority of my career for over 20 years.
Wow. When you came to Redding, what was your vocation at that time?
Well, I had started to cross over into my passion. Concurrently, I had worked doing work as a childbirth doula, a childbirth educator, as well as teaching childbirth classes. Along with all of that, it led me towards becoming board certified as a lactation consultant. My title was IBCLC, which is International Board Certified Lactation Consultant. Once I came to Redding, unfortunately, I started to become ill, and I could no longer work in radiology. I was working as much as I could in my field as a lactation consultant. But around that time, I actually became disabled.
What was the problem? Why did you become disabled?
Well, when I was 23 years old, as an MRI technologist, we did some test scans to run a new machine one day because there was no X-ray. It was okay that we scanned one another. And the doctor I worked with, the radiologist, discovered that I had something called a Chiari malformation, which is a congenital condition, something that you're born with, where a little bit of the brain actually hangs down into the spinal canal. And for some folks, it's not a problem. For others, it's such a severe issue that babies have to have surgery at birth.
Wow.
And for others, there's a whole range in between. In my case, I did not have symptoms at 23. However, by my late 30s and early 40s, I began to have a whole host of the range of neurological symptoms that can come along with it.
And what were some of those symptoms?
Those symptoms can range from mild headaches to severe migraines, visual disturbances.
Wow.
Balance problems. They can affect vision, hearing. In my case, I began having balance problems and dizziness that threw my balance off so frequently. I started having falls with injury and broken bones.
Wow, that's pretty awful.
It was severe. I ended up going through 5 years of misdiagnosis because of all the injury I suffered. And they had trouble agreeing that it was coming from this malformation in my brain.
So the broken bones that you suffered, what were those?
Initially, I tore both my knees and my shoulders. Then I broke both of my wrists. There were more fractures that came later, but those were the initial injuries from falling. The falling was, I had, you know, a number of bruises, a number of from my gait was off, was the problem. I just couldn't walk straight in the way I needed to.
That would be very challenging not to be able to walk straight.
Yes.
And having broken bones and torn things in the body must have been very painful.
Multiple surgeries. It was very difficult.
So at this era of time, you had the broken bones going on. Did you begin to discover that the, how do you say it, Chiari?
Yes, C-H-I-A-R-I.
Chiari issue was creating problems for you. Was there anything that could be done to alleviate that?
Yes. In some cases, first of all, it is diagnosed with an MRI of the brain and or the cervical spine. In some cases, they watch it to see if it changes, and that the presence of it does not mean that someone immediately needs surgery. However, the person's symptoms and lifestyle, and in my case, of course, it was affecting my life tremendously. At this point, I was no longer working. I was becoming injured frequently. So by the time I finally got myself to major university hospital that specialized in this, I was told that they actually wanted me to stay and have surgery because they said one trip and fall, I could break my neck.
Yeah. So the surgery was for what? What was it?
I ended up having surgery at the brain surgery, but at the base of my skull and the back of my neck.
And was that surgery successful?
Incredibly.
Wow.
It was a very difficult surgery to go through. It was very painful and took a long recovery. However, in the next year, my life changed dramatically.
In a good way or a bad way?
A very good way.
Oh, we like that.
Yes. I was able to, you know, even just raising my arms over my head was something I'd taken for granted that I couldn't do any longer.
Yeah.
Writing on a dry erase board on the wall or so many things. I had lost my signature. I could no longer write legibly.
Wow.
There were many things that neurologically I just could no longer do. And all of those things improved dramatically.
And let me ask you a question. During this time, just before the surgery, were you able to be mobile? Were you able to walk?
I was, but I was using either walking sticks or a walker, depending on what type of walking I was doing, how far, and just because I was too afraid to fall again.
Yeah. So after the surgery, your recovery, you said long recovery, months?
Yes. Yes, it was months, in that after about 3 to 4 months, I started feeling better, except I had another complication. I developed a blood clot in my leg, which they decided was a complication of surgery, even though it was longer out than we normally call post-op complications. Mm-hmm. But I had to take a long car ride to Sacramento and back, and I thought I had felt something in my leg, did my due diligence, got in touch with my doctor, and they didn't see anything on the ultrasound. So I took the car ride, and by the time I got home, I had trouble breathing. And that symptom was because the blood clot had traveled to my lungs. Ooh. And I had a pulmonary embolism.
Wow.
Which, for listeners who don't know, those are extremely deadly. And I was very lucky to make it to the emergency room. So once in the emergency room, they diagnosed the pulmonary embolism with a CAT scan, and I was quickly taken into an interventional radiology suite where they were able to remove the clot and then get me on. They actually didn't want me to be on blood thinners, systemic ones, because it could cause a brain hemorrhage so quickly after brain surgery.
Yeah.
So there was some concern there, but I was very fortunate that I was able to go home and then just take blood thinner pills for the following year or so off, for the next year or so, until the next event happened.
So the next event followed a couple of years later, and what was that?
Well, a year after that, we found out that my daughter, who was 16 years old at the time, she had suffered a concussion at school, and when her symptoms did not subside, we requested an MRI, and the MRI showed that she also had Chiari malformation. And we have been told that it was not genetic, but we've since found that it is. And in her case, it had been causing her lifelong symptoms that we'd been chasing down as well. But now that I was feeling better, we knew right where to go, and I'd been using a flight service to go back and forth to Stanford University, and the university hospital is a good 6-hour drive from where we live, so the flight service was able to help us get there and back in one day and home in time for dinner. It was wonderful.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
And I used them for over 2 years, and they provide free service for families in need who qualify financially and have an order from their doctor. I flew with several wonderful, amazing pilots during that time.
So you flew from Reading down to the Bay Area.
Yes.
And that's called Angel Flight?
Yes.
Angel Flight. Yeah, yeah. I want to make sure I had it right. And, you know, that's generous.
Incredibly.
That's their way of helping people that otherwise would not be able to have things done to them.
Yes,
because
right.
of the issues with distance.
Yes, to get to specialty doctors and clinics at a distance that we may not have locally.
How did your daughter get her concussion?
At the high school, she was just outside one day during her PE class, and like kids do, someone threw a frisbee and it hit her in the head. But when you have Chiari malformation, part of your brain is in competition with your spinal cord. Mm-hmm. So when you take a hit like that, it really messes with things.
And, you know, what people don't often realize is that the head bumps when they use in soccer. That's why football is such high risk. It doesn't take much to actually create a concussion. And so our thought is, our encouragement in the field of psychotherapy is to never let your head be hit. And if you're doing some sort of sport, not to use the head bumps and to wear a helmet, less like for bike riding, for lots of different things, we encourage helmets because to protect the head. So next step, you know, your angel flight and you're headed to Stanford and your daughter's going to have surgery. So I'm going to take a station ID and then we'll come back and find out what happens next. If you just tuned in, this is a segment of Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. We're here in conversation with Nancy Della Maria. Specifically, she's telling her story, her personal journey, and how despite some very challenging, significant things that have happened in her life, she not only survived them, but has learned to overcome them, rebuild life, and to thrive. And so I have found her story very inspirational. It's why I invited her into the studio. So let's catch people up that may have just tuned in. Your daughter, 16 years old, suffered a concussion that was caused by an activity at school, but you also discovered that she had the same neurological disorder, the Chiaria, that you had, and that was creating problems for her. So you decided to take her to Stanford, and she would have the surgery with the hope that it would resolve things like it did for you. That's a good hope, isn't it?
Absolutely. And that was her decision and hope too. At that age, she was close enough to being an adult that we, you know, of course, let her make the decision. And she said, "Mom, you've done so amazing that I don't want to wait until I get as sick as you did."
So
she made that choice. We found a pediatric surgeon who was phenomenal, and we got it set up. So the day before her surgery was to be done, we had an appointment for her pre-op visit. So our flight was scheduled that morning, and we everything went as planned. My husband was seeing us off, and he had planned to meet up with us the next day by car. He was going to be driving down, and he usually would come out on the tarmac and meet the pilot and say hello and take a look at the plane. And after that happened, we had a discussion about who would sit where. Most of these little planes are four-seaters, and so one person can sit in the front with the pilot, or in our case, we decided we would sit in back together because it was a little bit better view that way, and I had told her if she was tired, she could rest her head on me that way.
Yeah.
It ended up being a life-changing decision. So we sat in the back together. We had a pretty uneventful flight on the way down. It took about, I believe, an hour and a half to 2 hours. And there were some familiar sights once you get into the Bay Area that I was able to point out. An area where we have family that lives, and some points that you can find visually.
And are you landing at San Francisco Airport?
Just below it at the Palo Alto Airport.
Palo Alto.
It's right below SFO.
Yes.
And right near the Dumbarton Bridge. So once we got to that area, our pilot was having some difficulty with locating the airstrip. And there's reports about this online that can be viewed if anyone is interested in the details of the story. But basically what happened was that when he came in for a landing, he hit down really hard and then announced that he was doing what's called a go-around. So he touched down with a bang and then took off again immediately.
So it was the go-around, meaning he's going to come back to try to land again.
Exactly.
Okay.
In other words, he didn't do it right. So he took off again. And at that point, my daughter grabbed my hand and squeezed it. And I didn't want her to worry and told her it's going to be fine, even though I knew it wasn't. And as we ascended up to about maybe 500 or 600 feet, we could, you know, we're all wearing aviator headsets so we can hear traffic control and everyone talking to each other. And they were telling him to bank left. And at that point, as he started to bank left, the engine stalled. And what happened was that they have flaps that have to be put down and up and landing and take off position. Uh-huh. And because he did that, he landed and took off again so quickly, he didn't change the position of them. So when he stalled, they couldn't keep his lift going.
Right.
So we literally started to lose altitude. And I recall thinking, we don't have enough altitude to lose this much like you do in a big airliner. When you feel a dip, you're up at 30,000 feet. When you're down that low, there's nowhere to go but down. And sadly, the last words we heard from our pilot, were, O-S-H-I-T, you know, and he just, the next thing, you know, we crashed into the San Francisco Bay, south of the Dumbarton Bridge, in the mud flats.
Were you in the water?
We were in the water, and my daughter and I stayed conscious the entire time.
Did the plane submerge?
Not completely, only up to about our knees. And we felt the water, and we knew, of course, you know, she's saying, Mom, we crashed, and we're feeling the water, and our first thought is we're going down mm-hmm. in the water, and we've got to get out.
And the pilot's already deceased?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So the two of you are on your own to get out.
Yes. He was sort of, you know, flopped out over the
controls,
and I was afraid he was gone, and so all the windows were blown out. One of the wings was ripped off, and when I had suffered massive injury, and I couldn't breathe for a minute, but once I caught my breath, and she looked at me, we both realized that we smelled fuel in the water.
Uh-huh.
And the first thing we both thought was fire.
Yeah, you gotta get out.
We gotta get out. And I was pretty sure I had broken something in my spine. And in my background, in my field, in radiology, I know that you never move a person with a spinal fracture because you can paralyze them.
But you have fuel.
And I had fuel. So we had to make a quick decision. And I didn't tell her that. I called on my angels. I took a deep breath. And my daughter said, you know, I got to help you out, Mom. And so the seat in front of me, where I had decided not to sit, thank goodness, was flipped forward and the door was blown off. So
that was your way out, huh?
Yeah. So I just, you know, I said my prayers and I took a deep breath and I stood up. And when I stood up, I took a step to the right over the doorway while she helped me and out onto the one wing that was still there sticking out in the air. And that was when she noticed all the blood coming off my head. Mm-hmm. And I just said, Mommy's got to lay down now. And I laid on the wing.
Was she able to get out?
Yes, she was physically fine.
No injuries for her?
Just a little bit of strain on her shoulder from the seatbelt. And
but you had head lacerations.
I broke my neck.
Wow.
At the second cervical vertebrae, which is an incredibly dangerous level.
So when you broke your neck, it's fractured.
Yes.
So you risk, when you got out of the plane, if any movement, you could have had that fracture move and
paralyzed me. Or worse, I could have died from that.
So you got out, you laid on the wing.
Yes.
Your daughter gets out. How did you get help?
Well, a few things, and I had many more injuries than that too. But first of all, they saw us go down at the airport.
Right.
So there was a fire truck coming with first responders were on their way immediately. But the problem was that it was low tide, so which saved our lives because we didn't go down. We were only about 5 feet of water. Mm-hmm. So, but the problem was that because the tide was out, we were stuck in this thick, black, gooey muck. And we were about 30 feet out from shore, so they couldn't get to us. So we had first responders on the shore calling out to my daughter, who is now acting as a triage helper. Right. And she is yelling back to them that we think the pilot is gone, but my mother is severely injured. She is bleeding massively from her head, and she's on blood thinners. And so, you know, they asked her to take the pulse of the pilot at 16 years old, and she was first aid trained, and she did, and he had no pulse. So we knew that he had passed, and she was so brave. And so we then had, they managed to get a 30-foot ladder out to the wing of the plane, and the other workers were mucking through the mud to get to us. They helped her quickly off the ladder, and then they wrapped me up in a board, as they do, so they stabilized my spine.
Good.
And managed to get me off, and, you know, quickly, once I was in the ambulance, they whisked me away,
so
both of us.
So when they took you and put you on the board, they got you back into shore by that ladder?
Yeah, they slid me over the ladder.
How about your daughter? Did she walk out, or she go on a stretcher?
She was able to walk out.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing, isn't it?
It's incredible. She walked away from a plane crash.
And not only walked away, but she helped you get out.
She helped me get out.
Take care of you.
She helped take care of me. While we were waiting for them, my phone flew into the mud somewhere, but her phone worked, and she called my husband and told him that our plane had crashed. And then within seconds, he got bombarded with phone calls from reporters. It was insane. So it was better that he heard from her than from reporters. But
so then you were taken to which hospital?
We went to the adult and pediatric emergency room at Stanford and Lucile Packard Stanford Medical Center. And they discovered that I had, in addition to my neck fracture was my most serious injury, I had a very serious laceration across my scalp from the headset that I was wearing.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost about 2 units of blood.
Did you have to have surgery?
Not at that time, but I did 6 months later on my neck because it didn't finish healing.
So you've survived this plane crash. 6 months later, you end up having neck surgery because of the plane crash. When did your daughter get to have her surgery?
So she had, they had admitted her for 3 days for observation just to make sure she was okay after such a trauma. The neurosurgeons that had intended to do her surgery that next day told her that she was free to be discharged, and if she would like to, she could come back a few days later and have her surgery. At that point, she said, you know, we've got a whole party of family, friends here. Let's just do this thing. I want to get it done. So she went ahead and had her brain surgery, and she did amazing because she was young and healthy otherwise. And she did a great job and did very well, recovered much faster than I did.
Well, young helps too, doesn't it?
It does, yes.
I think it was wise of her to do it at 16 versus waiting until she got older.
Yes.
Yeah.
We definitely feel that way. And, but yeah, I had, and then the other injuries I had were more broken bones. I had 7 rib fractures, and I fractured my sternum. And then I had multiple, just, you know, other low back injuries, et cetera, that I still have chronic pain from. In general, though, it took me about a month and a half of hospitalization, because when I was discharged from being in the Bay Area for my initial hospital stay and then physical rehabilitation after that, I came home. I had to be transported by a stretcher because I had a neck collar from my my head that went down my chest. It was a big, huge contraption that I had to wear for 6 months, 24/7. And when I got back home, I had home nursing care for the first few weeks, and my scalp didn't get cleaned as well as they had hoped because my neck was a priority. Mm-hmm. So, of course, it ended up getting infected, and I ended up having to do wound care for 8 weeks to take care of my scalp wound, and I have a very misshapen scalp.
So if you think about the neck injury, being in the collar for 6 months, being in the hospital for a month and a half, then 8 weeks of wound care. Overall, how long do you think it took you to recover from the plane crash?
Honestly, a full year by the time I did physical therapy and all the other.
Yeah, it takes a while, doesn't it?
It does.
Yes.
A blood transfusion was in there too.
Yeah. When we come back, we're going to take a station break. We're going to talk to Nancy about life after the plane crash, the impact it had upon her emotionally, and what happens next in her journey. If you just joined us, this is a segment of Enjoy Exceptional Living. I'm Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. I also want to invite our listeners to make a donation to this station, KKRN 88.5 FM is community radio, all volunteer run. If you like our programming and want to contribute, no donation is too small. You can go on the website at kkrn.org. There's a button to do a credit card donation, and there's also a listing of the address where you can send a check if you prefer a check. We appreciate the donations. That's how we stay alive. Without them, we would not exist. So we appreciate your generous giving. We're here in conversation with Nancy Della Maria. She survived a plane crash in September of 2018, had surgery through her whole process. There's a whole journey that we just talked about. And it took about a year for recovery. Actually, a year is a pretty fast recovery, I would say. And what do you think the emotional impact was on you going through that plane crash?
Well, it was obviously pretty intense. It was almost twofold because it was a difficult experience for me, but it was so much more because of the way it affected my child. Mm-hmm. I knew that my wounds would heal and that my body would come around one way or another, but the trauma she sustained and the PTSD that she experienced was so great, seeing her mother almost die, that it just broke my heart to watch her struggle in the months and years following that.
So what helped her to process her trauma?
Therapy.
Uh-huh. So she started psychotherapy?
Yes.
And was there anything in particular about the therapy that she has shared with you that helped her the most?
Yes. She, the technique is escaping me right now, but with the eye movement
desensitization and reprocessing.
Yes.
It's actually the leading modality for processing trauma. So
yes.
Sometimes, you know, we hear about soldiers that have PTSD or like your daughter having this horrendous event happen. And PTSD is a common diagnosis. And so eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, commonly called EMDR, really helps to alleviate the impact of trauma. It gets the brain to release the energy, the trauma, emotional trauma that occurs. So you must have also witnessed her getting better.
Absolutely.
Yay.
And, you know,
like that.
She's, you know, of course, it's going to be with her whole life. But my daughter and I have always been very close. However, we've talked about this, of course, many, many times on many occasions. We celebrate the anniversary by having, in the beginning, we did it with the family. Now we have little gatherings where we'll go do something fun. We'll have a nice lunch or a meal or go get our nails done, or because it's just our little thing, you know, and happy, you know, we call it happy brain day or, you know, something silly we come up with every year.
That's funny.
To make it, make light of it, because we really have been through something incredible together. And at the same time, we're not going to let it haunt us.
Yeah.
Because, you know, yes, she had to witness this poor man die in front of us, as well as her mother almost pass and everything else about it that was horrible. But
thank goodness you landed in the bay.
Yes.
Yeah. Or crashed in the bay.
Right.
Not really
right.
landed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, it could have been a very different story. So not only did you have the challenge of brain surgery, but you had the challenge of surviving a plane crash and witnessing the pilot being killed.
Right.
Yeah. So grateful you made the decision for both of you to sit in the back seat of the plane.
Yeah. Well, we have sort of a family motto, and that is that we're always in the right place at the right time. And this is such a perfect, beautiful example of that.
Yeah.
And we do really trust that and believe that and affirm that. And that's part of, you know, this accident was obviously so unbelievable and scary for everyone that knows and loves us and cares about us. We had cards pouring in and messages and thoughts from, you know, I have an enormous family back east, and everyone here that knows us, it was just so beautiful. All my daughters, people from school and band and every, you know, every corner of the world, it seemed like we had people thinking about us and praying for us. And it was tangible.
Yeah.
You could feel it. And I had
Isn't that amazing?
Yes, I had never had that experience in my life. It was so beautiful. It was very uplifting. And that also really helped me to heal. And I just, I refused to get caught up in a funk. Like, I just kept saying, we're going to get through this. We're going to get through this.
One of the things I want to emphasize, though, what you just said is the outpouring of support helped you to heal. And so I always encourage people, they'll sometimes think about someone but not communicate it. And to encourage people, whether you text someone, whether you send them a card or an email or show up for a few minutes in their life, let them know, because that is a part of the power of healing is that community support.
It's huge.
It is huge.
I do a lot of work with families around childbirth, which is a very vulnerable time for many people, many women, many family, or men too, or whomever the family is. And during that time is when people need support the most. And,
oh, absolutely.
You know, so it's appreciated.
Any of those challenging processes in life, even though it's a birth and we think of welcoming new life, there's still medical challenges, emotional challenges. Mm-hmm. It's a huge adjustment for everyone, even though we're welcoming the child.
Right.
So,
thank you.
So when you think about after the crash and your recovery and life is going better, were there any other challenges that you faced since then?
Yes, well, certainly. I ended up having to have both of my knees replaced. Part of that was because of the so many falls that I had had before having the brain surgery correction. So, and at a young age, I had them done before my 50th birthday, which most people don't have knee replacements that done that young. My second one was done just before COVID started. And when we were all in lockdown, my father passed away back east. And I was unable to travel. And that was just, it was just so hard, you know.
The unable to travel because of COVID or because of your surgeries and recovery?
Both.
Yeah.
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 And so.
Got a lot going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But much like with the accident, you know, my family just circled around me and, you know, at the funeral home, they had a screen set up with the five of us. I was a stand, and they had a video screen for me. And
that's awesome.
I got to interact with my family members
virtually.
And we just we did it that way. And then they brought me to the after party, and they, you know,
that's great.
A brother who's a, you know, a techie. And so it was just really sweet. And we're very connected, even though we're 3,000 miles apart.
Which I think is an important thing for people to notice. Even though you're 3,000 miles apart, you figured out a way to be there virtually, which represents really the connection you have emotionally, psychologically, spiritually. Absolutely. And it's a time of healing when you can come together with family.
Absolutely.
And grief is another huge challenge, isn't it?
Yes.
Very different to lose a parent in the world. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Life is forever altered. And it's one of those things they used to say in psychology, we'd have closure. Well, some deaths you do have closure, but there's some deaths you don't. It's lifelong processing. Mm-hmm. Parents, children, siblings, the people that we are really very connected to can be a lifelong grief process.
Right.
Hopefully, within the window of 1 to 3 years, we process our grief. Mm-hmm. And I think it's interesting, you know, that despite the logistics challenge, your brother helped you find a way to be there in the best possible way that you could to join the family. It's powerful, yeah. Isn't it?
It really is. I'm so grateful for my family.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So after your dad's passing, there's that grief process. About what year? Do you remember the year that he passed?
It was 2020.
2020.
Yeah.
Yep, right there in the COVID era, wasn't it? So what happened next in life after your dad's passing?
In the last year, we have had one of my husband's sons has just went through a difficult relationship situation, split up, and he ended up with full custody of his two young boys and needed a place to live. So they've ended up living with us.
You're raising grandchildren.
Yes.
Two.
One with special needs.
So it's a major family adjustment again, isn't it?
Yes.
Do you still feel the support of the extended family helping you in that process?
Yes, but not physically,
you know,
emotionally, yes.
Yes. But don't you think, as we think about the recovery from the plane crash, the recovery from your knee surgeries, all the things you've been through, that emotional support was a huge factor and you'll be able to navigate through it successfully, to be able to fully recover from it.
Absolutely.
So that emotional support is huge, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
So even if a person can't come in and be a physical support, as in the instance here, childcare, not able to step in and pitch in and help with childcare, having that physical present is wonderful, but what's really imperative is that emotional support, don't you think?
Absolutely. I don't know where I'd be without my family and friends that I can talk to regularly, and especially my mom, who is still alive at 83, and
good she's for her.
She yes, except that we do have that one more challenge, which is that she's been incredibly healthy her whole life, and she's been my biggest cheerleader and teacher and person who's helped me learn how to laugh at myself and not take life so seriously. And then she's had her turn with a challenge. She's been facing lymphoma this past year. So I flew out in June to take my turn to go through a course of her chemo with her, as well as my other siblings have been doing the same.
So is she in Massachusetts?
She is, with the rest of my family.
Wow. Do you ever get nervous going on a plane?
Not so much on
commercial.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm not interested in ever getting in a small plane again.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are some things about commercial flights that make me a little nervous. It's not so much the flying. It's more about everything from overbooking to scheduling to how they move people to things like that.
Those challenges.
Than actual flying. But other than that, I'm okay.
So in June of 2024?
Yes.
You went back and spent time with your 83-year-old mother who's going through cancer treatment.
Correct.
It's one thing after another, isn't it?
That seems to have been my life since I moved to Reading 12 years ago.
It's amazing. I'm going to do a station idea, then we'll come back and we'll tell more of the story. This is a segment of Enjoy Exceptional Living. I'm Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with KKRN, Enjoy Magazine, and myself, a licensed marriage and family therapist. Our intention in bringing programs to our listeners is to highlight the people, places, and projects of Northern California that we think you're going to enjoy and that we think are exceptional. We've been here in conversation with Nancy Della Maria, who survived a plane crash in 2018 and had a genetic malformity in her brain that ended up causing or needing brain surgery. Her 16-year-old daughter survived the plane crash with her and was on her way to go get her brain surgery at Stanford when all this transpired. After that time frame, Nancy had two knee replacements. Her dad passed. And now in June of 2024, her mother at 83 years of age is going through cancer treatment. And Nancy has shown up and been able to participate in her mother's healing process. And, you know, oftentimes when we think of cancer, it's very challenging. And chemo and radiation and all the different strategies physicians use to try to help heal the body. But as we've talked in our conversation, Nancy has pointed to the power of emotional support and how that is part of the healing process. So hopefully the invitation for our listeners is to look around our lives and to see people that may be struggling with circumstances and to be part of that emotional support. That doesn't mean that you have to go over and do active physical caregiving, but sending a card, sending a text, sending an email, and letting them know how much they mean to us is part of the supporting their healing process. Don't you agree with that, Nancy?
100%.
Yes.
Knowing that we're not alone and knowing that we have connection and, you know, I think a lot of people feel lonely in whatever's going on for them. And you don't have to be injured or wounded or sick to feel that way. So I would agree absolutely that emotional support is so important. I think many people feel very lonely these days. And
alone.
And alone. And whatever the situation is, it doesn't have to be so catastrophic as all the things I've been through. I just, you know, having someone to talk to, whatever is going on in your life, and being able to show up as a friend for someone and just listen is sometimes more important than you could ever imagine.
Yeah.
Even just a kind smile to someone in the grocery store or how, you know, just a hello, just being kind to one another is so important.
Yes. Working with your mom, you were back there for how long?
About a month.
That's
and
nice.
With my whole family, I got to see everybody.
That's really nice that you could do that. And what's her condition now?
Currently, she's doing great. She's finished 6 months of chemo, and they're going to follow up with imaging in a few months. So she's just basically we're just remaining vigilant right now. But at the moment, they've completed the course of what they were aiming for.
Good. I hope she does well.
Thank you.
And since your return, do you stay in touch with her?
Oh, yes, all the time.
How so do you stay in touch?
We talk on the phone mostly. We send pictures. I try to get her to FaceTime, but she's fairly technologically savvy for her age, but she just prefers the phone.
Yes, so, yes. Yeah. And it's probably easier for her than sometimes holding up a tablet or whatever.
Yes, it is.
It's wonderful that she can communicate with you.
Oh, yeah. And recently, one of my brothers, we celebrate all the birthdays, all the anniversaries, and one of my brothers turned 60, and she FaceTimed me and sort of showed me everybody at the party, even though we couldn't hear each other. And then there was another gathering for my oldest brother and his wife had their 40th wedding anniversary. And so she tries to include me in those things.
That's
and
nice.
Lets me know that they miss us. And of course she misses my daughters. And exciting news, one of my youngest who was in the accident with me is now actually engaged. He's getting married and awesome. Having a baby.
And so. I think it's important too what you emphasize. When she did psychotherapy, it helped her to recover. It helped in her healing process. So sometimes that's part of the healing process, is we need to be able to look at things, examine things, and to allow our brain to heal. And that's what EMDR does. It works with the brain to help it recover from trauma. So it's wonderful that your daughter could do that. Do you think the things that you've gone through has changed you?
Yes.
And how so? Would you describe some of the ways it's changed you?
Well, for one, it's kind of deep, but I really don't fear death anymore. I just don't.
Thoughts about why that is?
Well, I think that I no longer fear the ways that people are afraid they might die, because I kind of have, one of my brothers teases me that I'm like a cat with nine lives, you know, and, you know, or that I'm playing, poker, and I've used, or I'm sorry, I forget the analogy, but basically, you know, that I've already used them all up and I better knock it off, you know. And so it's the thing is that a lot of people, I think, spend a lot of time in fear, and I don't have those kind of fears, because it's like, a lot of people think, what's the worst thing that could happen, you know? And I've kind of been through a lot of worst case scenarios. So I don't worry about those things. And I don't feel like I'm invincible. I know that I'm mortal like anyone else, and my time will certainly come someday. And my family knows that too. All of us have that. But it's just that when it's my time to go, it will be my time. And those other times were not my time. And I also felt often very divinely answered that and told that that wasn't my time.
When you were going through them?
Yes. Yeah. It was very clear to me, not so much like spoken to, but just it was in my psyche. It was in my, yeah. I was made aware that.
You knew.
I have more work to do. I have things to do here.
Yeah.
I'm needed.
Do you think in those circumstances, yes, you were with your daughter, and let's use the plane crash, you were with your daughter, but it sounds like you had even a bigger experience than just your daughter. You felt a connection beyond yourself. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And does that come from a practice you do, or is it just what you've learned through life?
I would say both. I've had a certain spiritual practice that has pretty much been lifelong, but more since my 20s. My mother is the one who opened my mind to a more modern spirituality, I guess you'd say, versus our traditional family religious beliefs. And
is that a meditation practice? What is it?
Yes. I mean, my mom's done yoga every day of her life. We, you know, most of our family was raised Catholic back East. And, but my parents would, you know, read books on spirituality, everything from Buddhism to, Edgar Cayce and things like that. And so
the whole spectrum
and just being open-minded, and she encouraged me to seek that as well. And so, you know, now, those are, you know, I do try to meditate and pray, and, I always have, and same thing with my girls since they were young. and shared with them always that I don't feel there's any, you know, no one person or church has a ownership over our God or creator. You know, we're all one. Mm-hmm. And it's that sort of philosophy without putting a name on it or putting it in a box.
Yeah. You know, I worked with cancer groups for 3 or 4 years and have worked with people dealing with cancer specifically, but lots of life-threatening illnesses and challenges. And one of the things I commonly hear is when you face death and you make it through or recover, yeah, whichever the case may be, that you begin to, I think the phrase is, you don't sweat the small stuff.
Yeah.
You let go of the fear. And I think that can enhance life and teach us to live differently, maybe more fully, perhaps more powerfully.
Yes, for sure. My husband and I joke about this often too. He's been through his own share of things as well as with me, of course. And sometimes we'll laugh about how people might get upset about a certain thing, and we just kind of go, eh, you
know, like, you know. Not a big deal.
But of course, we would never diminish someone's experience, yeah, of anything. But things that may have upset us in a certain way in the past just don't anymore, because it's not, it's just, it doesn't affect you the same way.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
I want to thank you, Nancy De La Maria, for coming in, sharing her story, you know, about having a congenital hereditary brain issue. What was the name of the disorder again?
Chiari malformation.
Yeah. That caused a lot of problems in her life. That ends up her getting surgery, recovering from that, taking her daughter down to have surgery for that same condition in the September of 2018. And the two of them surviving a plane crash and then having to recover from that. But really, I think that the really powerful thing that the takeaway is for me is that the support that others can give us emotionally, that is all part of the healing process. And even though we think an email, a text, a letter, a card, those are all powerful tools and part of the healing process, and that our own accessing that connection we have to the sacred can be lifting us and carrying us through the challenges of life.
Yeah.
If someone wants to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
I can be reached at my email, which is my full name. It's Nancy, N-A-N as in Nancy, C as in cat, Y as in yellow. My last name, which is De La Maria, D as in door, E as in ever, 2 L's as in lemon, A as in apple, M as in Mary, A as in apple, R as in red, I as in India, A as in apple.
At
yes.
Gmail?
At gmail.com. Yes. Yes, thank you.
I want to thank you, and I want to really point out to our listeners, we all can make a difference in the world by sharing a smile, by reaching out to others that are struggling, by being part of that emotional support system. Thank you, Nancy, for telling your story.
Thank you, Lynn, for having me.
Yes. I want to remind myself, Nancy, and all our listeners, we want to make this day and every day a day to enjoy exceptional living. Thank you for joining us.